Welcome to the Soul Surgery Podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. I am a maturation facilitator, teacher and coach, integrative holistic health counselor, breathwork facilitator, and author. I am the founder of the Academy of Maturation Coaching, The Alchemy of Being, where I train as many people as I can to become powerful spaces for human beings to come home to their authentic truth. Maturation is a powerful evolutionary process of dissolving trauma, breaking free of stuck patterns, and growing and healing at the taproot. Growing out of who we thought we were from the stories led by our past conditioning, in order to grow and evolve into who we were born to be. In this podcast, I will be sharing many different things with you, opening up the doorways to my coaching sessions where you can witness with your own eyes how trauma contaminates our reality and how we can dissolve it, heal it at the root, and rewrite the story of our lives, reclaiming our power and reminding each one of us that who we are is wholeness. I will be interviewing some of the world's most prominent teachers in spirituality, healing, transformation, and human evolvement, and sharing with you my own teachings and learnings along the way, and above all, sharing with you my heart. The purpose of this podcast is to remind each one of you who you really are, to open up the doorway to a new possibility, to a new paradigm, to healing, health, transformation, and our evolvement as individuals and a species. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. One thing that you can do for me, if you find this podcast useful and if you love it, please do subscribe. And if you feel called to, leave a review, because reviews really matter. They help to spread the word and help to spread this podcast to as many people as we can. And lastly, if you have any big aha moments, any shifts, any insights in any of these episodes, please do share it with me. Share with me which episode it was, where in the episode it happened, and how it has impacted you and your life. So without further ado, let's get going. I hope you enjoy today's episode on the Soul Surgery Podcast. Sarah, why don't you share with me and us, what problem is it that you wanted to talk about in today's session?
I wanted to talk about my relationships, my friendships, and particularly intimacy. So although I have friends and I'm in a relationship, I do find it difficult to maintain friendships. I cut people out, and I find it very difficult to receive any kind of affection and compliments and all sorts.
Yeah, that sounds painful. What can you be a bit more specific about how it shows up in the relationship?
So in my relationship with my partner, for example, there will be times, often daily and several times a day, where I know that I need a hug or some kind of closeness, and I am unable to first of all initiate, and secondly, if he initiates, then I will either break it off or I will interrupt, I'll cut it short. Or there are times when I might just suddenly busy myself with something.
Yes. Yes. And how does it show up for you in non-sexual relationships, in friendships and other relationships in your life?
Well, I have one really close friend who I've known for about 8 years, and I can share pretty much anything with her. She's not especially tactile, which might be quite telling. I've just thought about that now. And then with other friends, I, like I said earlier, I do cut them out for various reasons. I struggle to, I'm very huggy, I'm very affectionate. But I find it difficult to open up with people.
Yes.
So I'm all fun and games and laughter when I initially meet people and they think I'm great fun and want to stay in touch with me, etc. But then I get boring quite quickly and can't maintain it.
What do you mean by boring?
Well, I think it's boring. I guess I find it difficult.
That was actually quite significant, because your idea of what boring is, it could be so different to what I think boring is. So I want to know what your mind judges as boring. So what is boring for you?
I feel like I lose my spark quite quickly. So I come across as being quite jovial and laughing and joking and fun. but quite quickly, I think then the real me almost comes out. And actually what you see is somebody who's not very comfortable in their skin. And the first person that you met was just a facade.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a shutdown starts happening.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just want to touch on something. I know you think it's the real you, but it's not. This is a pattern. And what we're going to try and do in this session is we're going to try and identify what that pattern is, what that trigger is that happens. It's not the real you. It's just what it sounds like is what's happening is that, you know, the beginning stages of relationships is always the easy phase. That's kind of where we all get to be our sparkly, shiny, playful selves, because it's still surface level. That's why most relationships are in the honeymoon phase. That's the best time. But when time goes on, then we really start all that sort of sparkly, shiny presentation that starts to ease away. And that's where we get to actually meet each other. And that's where intimacy begins.
Yes.
So it sounds like that's the point when this pattern starts kicking in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Just one more question. You said something earlier that I wanted to catch and just get a bit more information on. You said, often I'll just pull away. Is that what you said? I'll either pull away or, you said, often I'll just pull away with friendships. Tell me about that. What happens?
I pull away when things get uncomfortable, or when I have to share opinions. I'm often not comfortable, I'm knowledgeable enough, or that what my opinion is relevant or worth saying, really. So that's how I pull away.
Yes. So it's sort of becoming clearer whether you can see it. Whenever it gets any closer to you actually being seen, you behind any kind of mask, you behind any kind of presentation, that's when this mechanism kicks in and it sounds like a shutting down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. And I cut people out. So again, when things become uncomfortable or if there's something I don't want to face. And also actually if people, I guess I can be quite cutting. I can cut people out quite quickly. Mm-hmm.
So tell me what happens in your body. Like, close your eyes just for a moment. We're not going to go into a regression just yet, but I just kind of want you to be able to tap into an internal experience. Yeah. What happens in your body when you're being seen?
I immediately feel really uncomfortable, and it's probably in my stomach or in my chest where I feel it first. I can't really tell which, but it would be in one of those.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's stay here because this is really useful. Okay. Take a nice
I get quite
breath.
Flustered.
So there's a flustering that starts happening.
Yeah.
And
almost like I get quite hot and just uncomfortable, maybe want to change the subject, start shifting from one foot to the other.
Yes. Okay. And it's in your stomach and your chest, but usually it's one or the other or both. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. While you're here, I actually want you to feel it now. So I want you to, well, you are being seen. You're being seen by me right now. Is it there now?
In my stomach, it's mild. It's not like it can be.
Okay. So why don't you think of a recent experience where you really felt it strong?
Okay.
So just feel it. Just really bring it forth. Bring it forth so that you feel it. Very good. Oh, there it is. Ooh, can you describe it for me?
It was very mild in my stomach. It actually came up more in my throat. And then it felt quite hot in my mouth. And then it's almost like it escaped through my nose.
Okay. So it's like a flash of heat.
Yeah.
And it moves fast, but I also saw a big wave of emotion move through you. What was the emotion?
Combination of anger and sadness.
Yeah. Okay. And where is it now? Is it in your heart? Is it in your chest? And also, is there anything in your throat? I can see some constriction in your throat too.
My throat is constricted because I feel... there's a slight pain coming through now, but actually I feel like I can't talk. And actually I'm feeling it more in my head, like a sort of like a headache kind of here-ish.
Yes. Okay. Sarah, for just now, I just want you to try and be with it. Mm-hmm. For a moment, I just want you to be with it without running away, without trying to change it. And if it starts moving and starts changing, please share with me what's happening.
I'm not feeling it in my head anymore.
Okay.
Well, not so much, actually. When I said that, it came back ever so slightly. My mouth feels really dry.
Yeah. You're doing really well, by the way. Really well. Tell me, is there a memory attached to this experience? First thing that comes to mind.
Because you asked me to think about something recently, I thought of the most recent face-to-face interaction with my mother.
Okay.
So it was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. So just for now, I actually want to take you back further. I want you to go as far back as you can. As far back as you can to a memory where you felt the same experience. And it doesn't need to be logical. Whatever is the first thing that comes to mind. Do you have one?
Yes.
Okay. In this memory, how old are you?
5.
Very good. And is it morning, afternoon, or evening?
Morning break time. I'm at school.
Okay. And where exactly are you at school?
In the playground.
Okay. And where exactly in the playground?
There's like a little, I guess it's like a little den almost in between two classrooms. There's a little space where you're quite enclosed. And I'm in the corner. And there are 4 girls crowding over me.
Oh. It's okay. Let it come. Okay. So you're in the corner and there are 4 girls. They're crowding over you. Are the girls older than you?
Yeah. Yes.
How old are the other girls? Just roundabouts.
Maybe 8, 9.
What are they doing?
They're calling me names and they're hitting me with sticks.
Oh, Sarah. Just stay here. I know it's painful. They're hitting you with sticks. And where were there no teachers around?
I can't see any.
Okay. So, and can you hear what names they're saying?
Not specifically, but I know that they're calling me names because of the colour of my skin.
Oh, Sarah. So they're calling you names because of the color of your skin, and they're hitting you with sticks. Are these girls white girls?
Yes.
Yes. And what is 5-year-old Sarah feeling? What is she feeling?
Scared and small.
Yeah, she must be feeling terrified. And is she trying to stop it?
No.
She's just letting it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's so afraid.
Yeah, I think I can't really do very much because they're crowding over me so much and they're bigger than me.
Yes. Now I want you to take a really, really big, deep breath because this is really painful, but you're doing really well. We're getting really to some core healing. I want you to really feel what is moving through 5-year-old Sarah's body. What are the emotions that are there?
Fear. Mm-hmm. Sadness.
Yes.
Loneliness.
Yes. Is there any shame?
Yeah, but I don't know the word.
Yeah, I don't know the word, but it's there, isn't it? Yeah. I can see it. Okay. Does 5-year-old Sarah say anything? Are there any words that come out of her mouth?
No.
No. So she actually is shutting down because she's trying to protect herself. She's not fighting. She's not trying. She's not saying anything. In that moment, what decision did she make about herself or about life? First thing that comes to mind, Sarah.
I want to have white hair, blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yes, that's what you want. But what decision did you make about you? There's something, I'm wrong, the way that I am is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't look right. I don't fit in.
Yes. Now, I know it's really painful, but I want you just to be with this. I want you to be with what she's feeling. That decision. Because when it is your skin, it's not something you do. It's something that you are.
Yep.
And you can't change it. So just for a moment, as painful as it is, I just want you to be with that decision that 5-year-old Sarah made. I'm wrong. Okay. Now, what does she need?
Somebody to listen to her friend.
Somebody to listen to her. What would she need to say if someone was to listen to her?
To ask them to stop.
Yes, to protect her.
Yes.
Yes. Someone to stand in and protect her. Yes. Yes. Okay. So I want you, grown-up Sarah, to go in there and stand right next to her. Actually, you stand in front of her. And you stand there and you protect her so that those other girls can't hit anymore. Now, I want you to turn around and I want you to tell her something. I want you to look her straight in the eyes. And I want you to look at her so she can really see you. Can she see you?
Yeah.
Okay. And if she needs to have some touch, you can touch her arms because she tends to disappear. So just to help her stay present.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to look her straight in the eyes and I want you to tell her that there is nothing wrong with her. In fact, I want you to see her light. Look at her. Look at this 5-year-old. What light can you see in her?
She's very energetic.
Yes. Yes.
She's smiling.
Yes. Tell me more about her.
She likes to dance.
She's got real joy in her, this little one. Yes. She likes to dance. Tell me more.
She's playful. She has friends, but they left her.
Okay.
She wants them back.
She wants them back.
She's quite good at telling silly, like, 5-year-old jokes.
So she's playful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to look at her even deeper. Does she have courage in her?
Yeah.
Yes. And as you're now standing there with her, and so she's protected, is there anything that she would like to say to those girls? Because I would like you to say it.
I just want them to leave her alone.
Okay. I want you to let her say it to them. You can let her do the talking. You don't have to say it to me, but I want you to actually let her speak it. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. Is there anything else that she wants to say? Because she's safe and she's being protected.
I want to play.
I want to play. Yes. Yes. And what about this? Your cruelty and your meanness and your anger has nothing to do with me. It's because of you. I want you to allow her to say this to these girls.
Your cruelty, your anger, and your meanness has got nothing to do with me.
Does she believe it?
Not really.
Do me a favor. Now that 5-year-old Sarah, who's got this incredibly playful, joyful, free spirit, is safe and protected by you, grown up, Sarah, I want you to get her to look at those girls, like really look at them. And I want you to get her to look inside them, look at their hearts, and to see them, see the child in them. What does she see? What does she see?
Well, at first glance, it's like they have it all.
Yeah. And then when she goes deeper, what does she see?
That they're just pretending.
Yes. Go deeper. Underneath the pretending. Underneath the pretending. What can she see?
That they're just almost competing with one another and they're not really comfortable with what they're doing.
No. Very good. Stay there. Deep down. Do they feel good about what they're doing?
No.
No. Do they even believe in what they're doing?
Not really.
No.
They just want to be popular with each other.
Yes, they're actually just trying to survive against each other. Take good. Just for a moment, I want you to really let that in. Look at them. Look at how they feel deep inside that they have to do these terrible things to compete against each other. Can you see that it has nothing to do with you?
Yeah.
And you hold that space. It has nothing to do with you. You are courageous and you love to dance and you have play in you and joy in you. And actually, their survival doesn't mean it wasn't really, really, really cruel, but it had nothing to do with you. Just take a moment, Sarah, to breathe that in. Can you put your hand on your heart for me? Do you deserve to be treated with love?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to ask you again, and I want you to really let it in. Sarah, do you deserve to be treated with love?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Other people's behavior is not about you. It's about their pain and their suffering. It doesn't mean it's okay, but it does not mean that you do not deserve love. I want you to let that in one more time. Do you deserve to be loved?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, you do. Do you want to be loved?
Yes.
Yes. And are you able to hold space for that little five-year-old when love starts coming in and she gets scared?
Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Now, in a way that feels right for her, in a way that feels safe for your little five-year-old, you can just give her a hug or tell her that you're going to be here for her. But then I want you to find a way to safely come back to the space. And if she wants to come with you, she can. You can just bring her and put her in your heart. Sometimes they don't want to leave. And when you're ready, and only when you're ready, you take a nice deep breath in and start coming back to the session and opening your eyes. That was so brave. I'm so sorry that that happened to you.
Thank you. I didn't see that coming up at all. I had all sorts of notes written down.
Yes. Well, that took a lot of courage for you to go there, and you really did allow it in. Now, here's the learning. There are people in this world that act out in cruelty. It is a reality of the world that we live in and you live in with the color of your skin. But it is more about them than it is about you. And so as you go into your life and you want to welcome in intimacy and friendships, the risk is to show yourself and risk allowing the possibility of whoever it is in your life to see you. And when that happens, that fear will come up again. The fear of the receiving the cruelty again. And that is the moment you need to hold yourself. And have the awareness that that is old. It's from a long time ago. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's so strange because I haven't thought about those days for so long. Mm-hmm. And I moved schools a lot, mostly because of the bullying. It happened at most of the schools. Mm-hmm. And then I started to fall behind. And so I put it down to that I moved schools so much that I was having difficulties with relationships, which probably didn't help, but yeah, was a knock-on effect, I guess.
And there's two really important things to learn from this. Number one is to remember that you are lovable. It really wasn't about you. Number two is that you're also courageous. So if anyone ever shows signs of being racist or cruel, that you will show up and you will stand up for yourself. Do you believe that?
Yeah. I think as I have started to stand up for myself more, but it took me probably up until about 7-8 years ago to really feel comfortable in my with my colour skin.
Yes. So there's kind of two learnings here. Is one is the child is going to show herself when your husband comes to hold you. When anyone in a friendship starts to get to know you more, when you start spending longer periods of time in communities or circles or relationships and that newness wears off, it's probably going to start coming back because that's the way that she protected herself. I mean, literally she had to shut down to even get through that experience. So your healing from this point forwards is every single time that starts showing up again, she starts showing up again, that you have the awareness of what it is and what's going on, and you show up and you hold space for her. You see, we can't heal something that we can't see. And now that you have some awareness around it, you'll be able to witness it and become more equipped at being with it as it moves through your body, which will also help you see and experience that it's not happening in reality. Does it mean it won't be uncomfortable? It will, but the more you hold yourself in it, the more the power will dissolve. And then the second one is, I want you to remember that you are a grown-up, you are a courageous grown-up now, and that you will take care of yourself more and more. And both those things are going to allow you to feel safer. You know, I have a similar habit, by the way, in friendships. And I've gotten to a point now that my girlfriends are so honest with me that as soon as I start pulling away, which is my pattern, I will get a text and it will say, "Oi, you're pulling away again." And I know it's like that 4-year-old in me that's so scared of angry mummy.
Mm.
She's going to come again. So I start shutting down. You see, It's not that it won't happen. It's just that you'll start getting more and more awareness of it when it's happening, that you might even be able to start sharing it with people.
Yeah.
With compassion. And that's intimacy.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. I find like I make up a lot of excuses for myself to kind of explain away my behaviours when I'm shutting down, because I can't actually say why I've shut down to that person.
Yes, and you know what? I think it would be incredibly liberating for you when you get to the point that you can say, maybe to your partner first, because you know each other so well, you know, I shut down because I get so afraid that I'm going to be attacked, or I'm going to be hurt, or I'm going to be cut, you know, like those girls came on me again. And so you start speaking your vulnerability with compassion for yourself, and then you share it, and that is when you start really experiencing intimacy.
Yeah, vulnerability. I'm not very good with that.
Well, it would make sense why, when you look at what's occurred, but that doesn't mean you can't learn now.
No.
Okay. Really good. Thank you so much for sharing yourself. It was just so courageous of you, Sarah. And I feel like it was a really generous offering of your heart. So thank you so much for sharing this time and your story with everyone who's listening. And I just love you. I love working with you. So it was really nice to be here with you today.
I love working with you.
You know, maybe we'll get you back on in a few months to hear if anything has managed to shift and any differences that start showing up for you in your relationships. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Nikki.